Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's trade deadline day in the National Hockey League, and for the Vancouver Canucks, another edition of 100% Canucks. John Shannon here, soon to be joined by Tyson Barry and Landon Ferraro. Canucks did do a few moves this day and this week. Obviously, everybody's well aware of the Tyler Myers move to Dallas for some draft picks. Did the same thing with David Kampf, who went to Washington. Connor Garland, who went to Columbus. Lucas Reichel, who went to Boston. Stocking up the draft picks. And really, at this point, it's difficult to analyze a trade other than they're getting more opportunities for prospects. When we come back, Tyson, Landon, and I discuss what it's like to be a player on this day and then get a little deeper into what the Canucks are losing, what the Canucks need, and in particular, discuss a few players, Evander Kane, Jake DeBrusk, Elias Pettersson. All that and more today on 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it. And enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks. Hours after the trade deadline, Tyson Barry in Victoria. Landon's on the North Shore. Boys, before we talk about, we can talk about draft picks all we want, but because we all know so much about what draft picks are going to be worth. Tyson, What's this week? What's this day like for an NHLer? How much chatter is there? What do you go through, and how tense can it be?
For some NHLers, you barely even notice it's coming. Depending on how your team's doing and your contract situation, I rolled through a couple deadlines pretty comfortably, and then I didn't make it through a few deadlines. So. I think everyone's kind of aware of the situation that they are in personally, and maybe some teammates, some friends, and then you got guys in Edmonton looking, trying to add to go for a cup and some other spots. So it's different, emotions all over the league, depending on the team contract. And then there is, the ones that your name's not out there, you think you're safe, and then you get shipped out and you're kind of scratching your head. So I think that maybe might have happened to John Carlson there. So it's an interesting time of year for sure. And for some guys, it's, smiles and handshakes and head nods. And for other guys, it's tears heading out.
From the other side of it, the bubble guy that's, kind of bouncing up and down, like, you're paying attention pretty closely, especially, if we're talking Canucks, like, focusing on there. Like, you're, as much as, you're wanting to watch and see what happens with the league, you want to see how many players are leaving. You've heard there might be a rebuild coming. There's different scenarios. I was sitting in Detroit in the minors having some good seasons, but who was I going to get past there? They had pretty good teams, and you'd get to the deadline and you were just hoping that they'd move a couple of those guys out to bring one better in. And well, now they got to fill a couple spots. Or as you start to sit down there a little longer, you're looking at it that hopefully they make a big swing and you're the prospect gets thrown into it and you get an opportunity somewhere else. So, you know, for like Tyson said, for the guys at the top, and or, you know, some are sitting very happy and not noticing, some are paying attention. But for a lot of the young guys and the guys in the minors, you're all over it because it could mean opportunity for you.
I'm curious, Tyson, I keep hearing that, you know, and Dylan Larkin said this last year, you know, when you have a good team, you want your manager to go out and add to make you even better, even though it will affect what goes on in the dressing room. Is that consistent? Is that true?
Yeah, I think to be like kind of brutally honest, players know players. You know, you're pretty aware of how your team's performing, maybe where you're lacking. You know, you could sit there and say, man, we really could use a right-handed bottom 6D or top 4D. Like,
despite the fact that the guy who's playing that position is right across the dressing room from you?
Yeah, I think if you're on a team that has those expectations and they're chasing the cup down, you know, the guys are on contracts, they're going to get paid. You're not hoping anybody is out of a job or anything, but if you can make a move to that's going to put you in a better position to win the Stanley Cup, man, it'd be hard to turn it down just because you're buddies with a guy. Sad. I got traded out of Edmonton, got traded out of Colorado, you know, great friends. And I think, you know, I'd like to believe people were sad to see me go, but you know, you bring in a guy like Ekholm and you go on a couple. So I get it. But yeah, I think whether you're identifying, you know, we need a third line center, we need a top four right D, like guys know where, you know, we're watching game tape, we're playing the games, you know, where your maybe weakness lies. So if you're in a position where you think you can make a run and your GM's going to go get a guy who fills that hole and makes you better, you know, you're sad for a minute, handshakes and hugs on the way out, and then moving on.
The other side of it too, though, is like as that guy that, yeah, you know, in your case, getting moved out of Colorado, looking at other deadlines or even that one, if they had an opportunity to upgrade another part of the team that made your and you stayed and made that team better, you're all for it, right? Like that's part of being on a good team or trying to get to that point. Like you're pushing to be in those situations. You know, you don't want to be on the team that isn't in that and
I played on a team in Colorado where, you know, the deadline was coming up. We were so bad. Everyone had like big bags packed and we were so bad. Nobody even got traded. We traded Iggy because, you know, he was a legend and then we wanted to give him a chance. So they got him to LA. But other than that, all these guys had the big 50 pound bags and nobody got moved. No team would take a look at us.
Well, so that leads me to a question, and we can get into who's leaving Vancouver and why and what they'll do. But so what happens for the rest of the season after the deadline for that, you know, like Bednar's first year? That was a tough year for you guys in Colorado. How do you maintain some level of quote unquote professionalism between now and the end of the regular season? Or do you?
I don't know. I'm not sure we did the best job, whatever that was, 10 years ago. We hung in there, maybe had a few drinks the night before the game when we otherwise wouldn't have, and enjoyed, you know, tried to enjoy the league a little bit. But yeah, I really, you know, I don't wish any team to be in the position we were in after that. It was ugly. But, you know, the position the Canucks are in right now, you know, they've got a lot of young guys in there and guys trying to find their way and earn their place. So this is just, you know, strictly, I think Alvin, you know, alluded to it. They're going to expect the guys to compete and, you know, show up every night. And for the young guys, it's like, man, what an opportunity. You know, you could go end up in an organization that's making a cup run and not get a look for 2 or 3 years. This is an opportunity to make a name for yourself in the NHL and build a career. So if I'm these younger guys who are getting these opportunities and playing these minutes that they would otherwise not get, you're trying to make the most of it. So it'll be fun to see who can, you know, kind of step up and, you know, maybe surprise some people and show them, you know, that they're full-time NHLers and can be a big part of the rebuild.
Okay, I'm curious, Landon, the other night against Carolina, what was it like in the building? What was it like around the hockey club? Could you, was it just an air of inevitability?
Yeah, but I would also say the other night against Carolina, especially later as they made their comeback, like there was a good buzz in the building. It goes to what Alvin said, like, and I feel that the fans are in the exact same boat. They're going to a game. They, of course, they'd like to see a win, but if they're going to lose, just like play hard, like show that you care, show that you're trying to keep it close, get yourself into a position to get it to overtime, or maybe you do grab the win. And that's what they did last night or the other night. Like they battled, they got back to within one, and yeah, they gave up an empty netter, but they showed the fans a game. You know, the few before that was where it was quiet, and it was more of that inevitable just waiting for the deadline. Like that was what everyone, right, Tyson? Like that's what it felt like. Everyone just waiting to see what was gonna happen.
Yeah, it is a weird limbo time, especially like, you know, your Garland or, you know, whoever's on the block there, like Mizey. You know, you got guys sitting out waiting for trade. It's just like you feel like you're in the twilight zone. Everything's just a little weird. Meetings are weird. The coaches are like, you know, addressing it, but then also doing the pre-scout for the game.
We got to be professionals here. You know, it doesn't matter how much noise is going on, but of course
the noise that line, and then that gives you like an excuse not to be dialed.
Yeah. Thank God he verbalized it.
Yeah. So instead of going, doing your full warm up, maybe you just jump in the hot tub and have a coffee. Like, it's like, what is going on around here? It's interesting times.
Yeah. But no, again, right. Like it was the last game was what they need to show the organization, but the fans, like just some fight. And if they do that, that's obviously what you need for the younger guys to keep developing, but also keeping a fan base happy while hopefully excited for draft picks and young players coming in the next few years.
Well, we know it's going to be a while. That's the challenge. I'm curious, what Tyler Myers went through? Have you experienced something like that, Tyson?
No, I was never lucky enough or maybe call it good enough to get the no move rights. So I was always just hanging on the wire, waiting to be shipped out. But I've seen guys go through it. I think it's awesome. people get heat for exercising their no trade clauses and stuff, and I don't understand that. I think like that's part of the contract, like don't negotiate that and then turn on a guy for having it in there. I think it's awesome for Tyler to, you know, a guy who's been a true pro his whole career, been nothing but, you know, gentlemanly to, you know, I assume everyone he meets and great in the community and a great hockey player, to be able to, you know, use that power that he has to kind of guide himself and his family into a position not only to win a Stanley Cup but to be comfortable in a great city. And I think it's awesome. Weird sitting out for sure. I was talking to him about that. It's a bit of a odd situation, but nice to see the no move clause come in handy and you know work for a guy like that.
And that leads us to another story. Landon is how do we find a way so that the player isn't embarrassed like Colton Parayko? How is he not embarrassed by exercising that? Because in theory, there was no trade. There was no trade made because he didn't agree to it.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
Oh, man, I absolutely hate myself right now for what I'm about to say, because I like to think I'm players first all the time, but like the no move, the amount of no move clauses that are getting thrown out now, like it's on the managers in the league. You have guys that are middle roster players that have no move clause, like full no moves now. And then it gets to a point where a trade kind of, you know, it gets made, but then somehow it gets leaked. That player gets put under pressure. It's not right. To me, there should be a limit per team or something like that that you can have, or max it out at, you know, a 15 team no trade, because it's wrong. Just like Tyson was saying, like it's wrong that Myers has done everything right in his career, been a complete professional, unreal in the community, earns that no trade clause, and then have people frustrated at him for using it. It's just at that point,
were people frustrated with him?
I don't think they were frustrated with him.
Okay, not as much with him, but you see it around the league. Like this Parayko, one, they understood.
People are like chirping Parayko, but it's like,
yeah,
get it. Like,
exactly, right?
Buffalo wouldn't be in my one hole either if I had a no trade. Like, they're having a good year and they're making a push, but like, that's not a ton of history there of making good pushes. They've been in one for a long time. So, you know, he's got some years left, and I don't know if I'd want to saddle up and move to Buffalo myself.
But I tell you what, though, at a certain point, both of you guys have negotiated contracts. If you negotiate a no move or a limited no trade or whatever, you're usually giving up cash to do it, aren't you? Isn't that part of the package?
You could definitely. It's almost, you know, depends on the player and the size of the deal. I think, you know, you're probably, if you're signing 8x10 or 8x9 or whatever, you're probably pretty close on money either way. It's just that like incentive. Like if someone's offering you 8x10 and there's no trade protection, and someone's offering you 8x10 with trade protection, it's just, yeah, if the decision's close, you're going to pick one over the other.
To me, I think we'll start seeing less of them being given out simply because the cap is rising at a way higher rate than it was. Like when the market and the league started getting flooded with all these, like it was mostly because of the flat cap comes in. Now that was the way, just like Tyson said, like one team might say, we'll give you this deal. The other team says, well, we'll give you a no move with it. Like that was the way they could separate. Right. So I feel like they started throwing them out a ton, but now there might not be as many moving forward simply because teams can afford to keep players and move without having to be as stretched.
Yeah. That really put the management under stress.
Players first,
buddy. I was a victim of the flat cap. I should have made way more.
Yeah, that was my issue too. Dang it. The dang flat cap got me.
Oh. Well, you know what? Last I checked, there were more decimal points to the left on your check than mine. So
not anymore, buddy.
All right. Tyson Lennon, I'll be back after this. We're going to talk about Connor Garland, talk about a few other things and what to look forward to with the Canucks in the next couple of weeks on this edition of 100% Canucks.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Welcome to another great professional version of 100% Canucks with Tyson Barry and Landon Ferraro. Okay, boys. Connor Garland, no longer a Vancouver Canuck. The irony of it for me is that he negotiates a brand new contract, 6 years, big money. It hasn't even come into play yet, and he gets moved.
Yeah, probably. You know, for him, I'll let Landon take this one away. I know he's watched him for a long time, but I mean, you can't. If you're Connor Garland and you're looking at your 6 year deal hasn't even started and you're staring a rebuild right in the face, you know, that deal takes him to what, 36? Yeah. I think probably, you know, he's probably thinking this could be a long 6 years, and now he's out of there and he's got a chance to go and play some meaningful hockey. So not that the Canucks won't do that in the near future, but just, I mean, did he have a no trade clause in that one too?
Yeah. No. This is the no trade kicks in with the new one.
In the new one, right. Yeah. So he hasn't even got there yet. So now he's got Columbus.
Okay, yeah. So that's where I'm going to start there, John, because I believe that you probably know history of contracts in the league better than me and Tyson. Has anyone ever... So Garland signs his 6-year extension last summer, but he has this year on it.
Right.
Has anyone ever been able to say, okay, I got the no trade in the 6 years, but I want it in this last year of my expiring contract?
It's not allowed.
Not allowed? No. I figured. But I was like, that would be crazy to be able to do.
There was a time long before both of you played that contracts could get renegotiated, just like in the other pro sports. But ever since the salary cap world, you know, that flat cap world that Tyson got suffered through.
Just abused by.
Yeah, I can't believe you actually had the balls to say that. I mean,
but check the stat lines. I led the league in scoring. There was no money out there. It was a joke. I should still be playing. Got robbed.
We can start the stories now that you're coming back next year.
No. I don't think my body's ready for that. I don't think it'll ever be ready
quite
for that.
Quite a shock to the system. Eh?
Yeah.
I'm a beer salesman now, guys.
You can't renegotiate.
Yeah, I was just curious ever in the past if anyone had ever been able to pull that off, because that would be pretty cool.
The closest thing is all those guys that, you know, and we saw that with the Rasmus Anderson situation is that, you know, when he was supposed to be traded to Boston. And they said, well, we're only going to trade for you if you sign with us now. That's the closest thing that happens.
Did Vancouver retain any of Garland's contract?
No.
Okay. No. That would have been interesting. Have your contract retained before you even start it.
And I think that probably dictated the price too, because they got a third round pick for him. And by the way, the people in Columbus actually said that we were thrilled that we have him for 6 years, because with the cap going up every year, and it's going to go up even higher. That's going to be a controlled contract for 6 more seasons. That's pretty good.
What's their other option? She'd be like, we don't want him.
Don't trade for him. The other option is don't trade for him.
True.
I mean, and look at the contract that Kiefer got in San Jose.
Love to talk about that one for a minute. What a great deal for a guy who worked really hard to get that in a late part of his career too. Very nice to see.
Well, and I think that contract, it set the bar for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't tell me that Bobby McMahon, who's now going to play in Seattle, wasn't looking at the Sherwood contract saying, I'm exactly like him.
Yeah,
he's about to finish off his second straight 20 goal season, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good money waiting for the other side.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be fascinating. So let me ask you, what happens now? I'm just going to throw some names out, and you can take it anywhere you want. What happens with Evander Kane now? I mean, plays the 19 or 20 games, and that's it.
Heads to the market.
Yeah.
You hope that, he can find another deal and somebody will take a flyer on him. And what was he? I think, maybe this year he had a big number on his contract.
He did.
Still. Yeah. So you never know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough situation for sure. Like obviously Edmonton wanted to move on from his money. He had a big price tag for what they're trying to do. And so he wants to come here because he knows there's a big opportunity for him where he can have a really good bounce back year after not playing in the regular season last year. And the year quickly blows up and it's not what he expected at all. And now he's here after the deadline. He's, I forget the number off the top of my head, but what is he, like 14 games or 13 games from 1,000 now?
Yeah.
You work towards that. And then after that, I wouldn't be surprised if, some of the veterans like him are on a bit of a rotation, making sure the young guys are playing. You end up seeing that a decent amount at this time of year.
Well, that was my point. He's at 989, by the way, and won't play in Chicago on Friday night. I mean, there's no advantage to playing Evander Kane the rest of the season.
No.
So
I'd like to see him get 1,000, though. I think that's a classy thing to do for sure.
And so that was going to be my question. Do you ensure that he gets the 1,000 games and he can enjoy it in his hometown and then see what happens?
Well, for me, yeah, that's like the part of our game that I think makes it great is the humanity part of it and the doing the right thing and, you know, doing right by guys. And, you know, I know Kaner's had issues and, you know, people say things about him, but I mean, the guy's, you know, 11 games away from 1,000 and that's not easy to do. So I'd love to see Evander get 1,000 games in his hometown, like you said. And one thing I do know about Evander is he'll play as long as he can. So he'll be, you know, he'll turn around and get going in the off season and try to, you know, muster something up for next year.
Jake DeBrusque, Landon.
DeBrusque, I mean, for him, it's, you almost have to get a bit selfish in my eyes. Like he needs to really kind of reset himself because you're here now, at least through the end of the season. And it does yourself no good to stumble, you know, the last 20 games into the end of the year. You want to finish on a good note to go into the summer and feel good about yourself. Give yourself an option if there is a trade that might happen. Like, you want to make sure every team that's watching sees you playing at a good level and competing and moving that way so that you, you know, you make yourself a bit more appealing to other teams. But again, just personally, just it's been a tough year for the team and for himself producing. And, you know, it, like Tyson, you're a producer too. Like the worst thing that, you know, the thing that makes you feel the worst pretty quick is not doing the one thing you're used to doing.
Oh yeah. When you're tossing up bagels consistently, it's hard on the mentals. But you know, another thing too, is like, you know, still the National Hockey League. He's got a great salary, a good paycheck. Like, you know, I'm sure some of these guys would have liked to have moved on or and vice versa, the team from them. But, I mean, you still need guys to play hockey. Like, mm-hmm. You still need players on your team. You're talking about the NHL. Like, you can't go into next year with no veterans. It could, you know, you still want to ice a product. So they're going to need some players to carry the load and produce. Obviously, you'd like to see that happen more, you know, for the end of the year, but can't get rid of everyone.
No, but Tyson, players. At the same time, like that's where like you do need to have these conversations with all of your veterans, because if they go into next year, this can't be a conversation of are you in for the rebuild or are you not? Because not every guy like. Okay, going back to Connor Garland, because we kind of glazed over him a little bit, but...
Well, he's not here anymore, so...
Yeah. But to me, like, I love him as a player. I think he's an awesome guy off, like, out of the off the ice. But to me, he's not a guy to be on a rebuilding team. The fire that he has to win and compete, it's a tough mix for a team that you're going to need veterans that... have that compete and you know show the young guys the right way, but can handle losing and handle it in the right way. Some guys just aren't that. I don't like. I was on a lot of bad teams. I wasn't very good at being on them. It was just I wasn't good enough to get to the better team, so I just made do. But some guys, you have to have the right mindset. So you have to have those conversations. If they're waffling on it or they give you a no. If you can make that move, you do it. And then you overpay a little bit in the off season to bring in the right guys that are more than happy to be that mentor.
That's okay. Yeah. One more guy. What do you do with Elias Pettersson now? What happens now?
Go for it, Tyson.
You take it, bud.
Well, no, I mean, listen, Jimmy Rutherford told me last week that if they got a good deal, they would have to consider it.
Yeah, I think that's crazy not to consider it. I mean, that's the guy making a lot of money and, you know, hasn't, you know, not surprising anyone, hasn't, you know, performed or produced like, you know, they'd like him to since he signed that deal. So a fresh start sometimes is always, you know, welcome for both sides. You know, I don't know Petey. I don't... you know, I'd love to see him turn it around, whether that's with the Canucks or another team. Absolutely. But yeah, it's going to be a long stretch here. I imagine for him coming down the stretch. So, not sure what you do about it. You know, maybe try it another year. But
yeah. Like, to me, it's, I mean, in a bit of a sense, the same as DeBrusque, right? Like, yeah, you, like, they would have happily, if a good deal came across them today, they would have happily jumped on that. Mm-hmm. To me, that's more of, you know, before the draft or draft day type trade, because it, that's a lot of moving parts, I'd imagine, to get that done. But for him, like, it's the same thing. You keep pushing, you try and find a way to jumpstart yourself through the end of the season. But to me, like, I'd be, not that I'm saying that it's like a lock that he gets moved in the off season, but like at this point, if they can figure that out, I think it is best for both team and player. Like, there's, he needs a reset somewhere. The league's a better place with him playing at the top of his game. He was so fun and exciting to watch. Like, he was, Tyson, you played against him and defended him. Like, he was jerky with his movements.
Yeah,
on
it was
the
a
ice
nightmare.
And
yeah,
change of direction.
And, you know, unbelievable stick. Unbelievable. He could beat the goalie clean from top of the circles, standing still with a wrist shot. There wasn't many guys doing that. So, yeah, I think you made a good point. The league's a better place when Petey's, you know, playing at the top of his game. So, yeah, if that's in Vancouver, yeah, maybe, but, you know, it could be better elsewhere.
I would suggest that if the storylines between now and the end of the regular season are, we're going to watch the young guys learn how to play the NHL game. We're going to give some guys from Abbotsford a chance to get to the big stage. That most of the conversation will be Elias Pettersson. Can he regain exactly what he was when everybody thought he was the next coming of one of the best superstars in the game? The 100. Yeah. Where will we see?
So the same story as last offseason.
Yeah, yeah. And will we see a 100-point season ever again from Elias Pettersson?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I feel like that's pretty fair to say that the 100-point one is probably gone, but I don't see a reason why he can't get to that 80-85 again.
Why can't he get to
100? Where he's at, that's already astronomical jump.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think that's the question everybody's asking internally, is where's the 100-pointer gone? Mm-hmm. You know, and he's playing. He may be playing a better two-way game, but you don't pay $11.5 million for a two-way player. You pay $11.5 million for a guy who could put the puck in the net.
Yeah. The other exciting thing that there is to look forward to that hasn't been in really a conversation in years past here is, as the year gets moving along, is the college free agents that'll be coming out. Mm-hmm. And Vancouver's, you know, finally in a place that they can offer real opportunity to the best guys to come in and play right away. So I think it'll be really exciting to see if they can grab one or two, you know, 23, 24-year-olds out of that mix that can kind of help jumpstart your prospect pool as well.
Yeah, go grab a Kerfoot or a, you know, who was the other guy who went to New York there?
VC back in the day?
VC, yeah, one of those top-end free agent guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, there's always a story of a guy. The most famous one might have been a guy that signed with the Rangers, Matt Gilroy. Matt Gilroy was supposed to be one of the great up-and-coming guys. They said he was like a rover out there. Where is Matt Gilroy today? That's right. Nowhere to be seen. All right. Thank you, boys. Enjoy it.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Tyson Barry, Landon Ferraro, thanks for listening and watching this edition of 100% Canucks.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.